I had this like life experience in this job and this like that I had worked my whole life for and that I thought was going to, you know, make me happy, was going to do all these things for me. And yeah, it didn't. It really didn't. And so I had worked my whole life for that, planned my whole life for it, prepared my whole life for it, like went to Duke Law and I got this job and I had this really prestigious job and in my life on paper looked so perfect. It looks like I had everything that I wanted and I did have everything I thought I wanted, but I was deeply unhappy. And so I left that job and I did something that I don't know if anybody at that firm has ever done, which was I left that job without any sort of plan. I had no idea what I was going to do, but I wanted to know, like, can I have a different experience of life? How can I appear to have it all and be so deeply unhappy? How can I appear to have it all and be so deeply unfulfilled?
Hi, and welcome back to Reclamation Radio. I am Dr. Kelly Brogan, and today I have on Kara Nicole Bitar, who is an attorney turned founder of Manifesting Blueprints, where she reads and assesses how aligned you are with seven different polarities that explain human behavior and the patterns that we find ourselves in, how you can come to know, express, and experience yourself more authentically. So as we go through each of these seven descriptive polarities, you'll be able to listen and find yourself in there, and you will learn how to know if you are somebody who should be using a vision board at all, whether it's a problem that you tend to focus on what it is that you don't like about a situation, and whether you're somebody who should be focused on finding other people just like yourself, or whether you actually thrive being around people who are nothing like you at all. So these are just three examples of how it is that you can come to understand yourself better through the Manifesting Blueprint we're going to explore today. Welcome, Kara, to the show.
Kelly, thank you so much for having me. I am so happy to be here.
I would love to talk today about one of the most fascinating rubrics I've encountered for understanding the habits and patterns and like repeated reflexes that we have as individuals that we might otherwise pathologize, right? Or that we might otherwise see as problematic or even try to like fix and take courses and hire healers if we don't understand how to own these dimensions of ourselves and also leverage them, right? So a little bit of a backstory is that you have developed a framework for understanding people's gifts and talents and the way that they express these different dimensions. You call them polarities, right? And today we're going to go over seven of those because as we explore these, everyone listening is going to be able to find themselves in this spectrum, but your gift is to be able to help people see more clearly where they fall in the spectrum and where they kind of belong, like where their essence belongs, right? So you call it a manifesting blueprint. And funny story about how we know each other is that you came up to me in a restaurant. What was it, like a week or something after you had sent my office an email? Okay, so that's a good manifestation, right? Like that's proof of concept. And yeah, I'd love for you to share a bit about like what it is that you wanted me to know in that email, because you come from a similar background to mine in the professional sort of like, you know, alpha woman career world. And you've also taken quite a radical left turn, and you wanted me to know about what it is that you offer. And since availing myself of your services, I am obsessed. I just think it's absolutely brilliant because of how much shame can be drained from the field when you own these aspects of your personality and these ways that you tend to be in the world. And of course, I'm a psychiatrist, I'm a pattern recognizer, right? So I am already looking for patterns. I'm already watching how my girlfriend interacts with the waiter versus how I do, you know, and how she feels after a week of not going out, you know, versus how I do, and how she handles her work projects versus how I do. And the tendency is to think one of us is doing it wrong versus to understand that there are ways to more fully align with and then express like who it is that you are. So yeah, I'd love for you to even just share with us, like, when you emailed me, how it is that you thought to invite me into your world and a bit about that.
Yeah. So you did kind of allude to this, but I used to be an attorney. So I practice high stakes corporate litigation at one of the largest law firms in the Northeast. And I had this like this life experience and this job and this like that I had worked my whole life for. And that I thought was going to, you know, make me happy, was going to like going to do all these things for me. And yeah, it didn't. It really didn't. And so, and I had worked my whole life for that, planned my whole life for it, prepared my whole life for it. Like I went to Duke Law and I got this job and I had this really prestigious job. And in my life on paper looked so perfect. It looked like it had everything that I wanted. And I did have everything I thought I wanted, but I was deeply unhappy. And so I left that job and I did something that I don't know if anybody at that firm has ever done, which was I left that job without any sort of plan. I had no idea what I was going to do, but I wanted to know, like, can I have a different experience of life? How can I appear to have it all and be so deeply unhappy? How can I appear to have it all and be so deeply unfulfilled? And I did, like, yes, I did corporate litigation, but I also did work for victims of domestic violence. I did a lot of that. So I did a lot of things that were like high level, plus you would say were really meaningful. And so I embarked on this journey, really, and I had no idea what would transpire, where I would end up. Obviously, I had all these fears about where I would end up. Yeah, it felt like a long journey. I was super committed to it. I had a lot of dark moments. I tried a lot of different things. And what I ultimately came to was the reason that I was that I was not happy, that I was not fulfilled, was because I was not being and expressing the truth of who I was. I was not being and expressing the uniqueness that I am. And so even though I appeared to succeed at my job, it wasn't what was ultimately expressive of me, of my uniqueness. And we are unique beings. And so once I started to like realize this, there were numerous different kind of ways that I realized this. But once I realized it and I started then to understand, okay, like, how do I be and express the truth of who I am? Like, how do I do that? And I realized that there was not only ways to do it, but there are effective and efficient paths to it. And so from that, what has transpired is my current business and currently what I do. And in the whole journey of what I was doing, I listened to a lot of podcasts. And one of the podcasts I listened to had you on it. And I was like, the first time I heard you, I was like, who is this woman? And I have never met anybody like you. I'd never met anybody who was saying things like you. And I was just so incredibly drawn to it. And then also, of course, drawn to that, yeah, we did have somewhat similar backgrounds and that we were both very much in this like very like education, you know, the doctor, lawyer, right? Like those are considered like these two kind of prestigious professions. And so listening to your podcast, I just so resonated with you and everything that you were saying and everything that you were putting forth. And I like, and then it was like probably at the time, I really did think, I was like, I wish I knew her and I wish we were friends because I had never met anybody like you and didn't have anybody like you in ever my circle of friends anywhere. And then we ended up moving to Florida and I just had this like, I'm going to email her and I'm going to offer her what I like, something that I do, because I think she would love it. And I also just wanted to express appreciation to you. And so that's what I did. I emailed you a week later. I am sitting in a restaurant and I literally like see you walk in quickly. It was like a big restaurant and you just happened to walk in. Like I just happened to be sitting where I could see and I was looking up and I saw you walk in very briefly. And I had this moment of like, I think that's Kelly Brogan. And I emailed her like a week ago.
And now you're on my podcast. It's so good. It's so fantastic. And so I had a session with you where we explored your divination. I'm sure you have a better word for it, but that's what I would describe it. of my gifts and talents and also what you call the manifesting blueprint. And the manifesting blueprint is what I would like to break down now, because I think that, you know, if we are here, you know, in this conversation and in pretty much everything I put out into the world to expand the permission field, to dissolve some of the shame wall that is otherwise keeping these aspects of ourselves that come bearing gifts, that come with benevolent intention, that are designed for us, that keep those gifts arrested, then even just listening to what it is that you have, you know, sort of how it is that you've framed the spectrum of human behavior, I know that those listening will come to see themselves in a slightly different light. And I'll give some examples. I'd love to even share a bit about, like, you know, where I fall on the spectrum, because, you know, if you get sort of the impression of a lot of my personality traits, you can sort of, you know, see how they line up with this manifesting blueprint framework, and then maybe guess, or, you know, people can obviously consult with you personally and get a more accurate assessment. So yeah, maybe tour us through those seven polarities.
Yeah. So just to give a little bit of background on this too. So what I really like about this manifesting blueprint is that it's like, do you need to have this reading to understand your fundamental nature? No, you don't. Of course, you know what that is. The issue in our experience and the issue that I've seen is that it's like, I like to use a terminology, it's like we've been hidden from ourselves. So it's like the truth of who you are is there, but it's like we're living instead from programs, from subconscious beliefs, from collective consciousness beliefs. We're not living and expressing the truth of who we are in most instances. And so in the work that I do, it's like, one, I wanted to see, okay, is there in fact a truth of who we are? Yes, there is. And I also like to say, like, you're not here to become something. You already are it. You are here to express and experience that. And when you really tap into that and be that, it's like your life will change. I have transformed truly. I have transformed every single area of my life. There is not an exception to this. And how I have transformed it is by being and expressing the truth of who I am. And so on this kind of path that I've been on, it's like I realized, okay, we're not being and expressing the truth of who we are. How do we do that? Okay, there are ways. What I love about this blueprint is it's like the best shortcut into like being and expressing you, because it lays out. So what we're looking at here, this is soul structure. So this is what people, it's like you come into this experience with this. You've always had this. It's actually the most natural place for you to be. And so what happens though is when we can lay this out for people with such clarity as this blueprint does, then it's like, I feel like now you're on the fast track. It's like, yeah, I get this is who I am. Now I can really own it. And you made such a good point, which is like, it's so interesting how a lot of these, it's like, this is your divine structure. This is like this most genius, brilliant structure. And a lot of people are like criticizing themselves for their own structure. Oh, I shouldn't be this way. I should be like this person. It's like, no, because you're not that person. You're you. And your structure is so magnificent and so beautiful. And the thing too that I really love about these blueprints is, like, I've done them for individuals, but also like for their children, for their family members. It's game changing and understanding people in relationship. Why? Because we are unique beings. We are not structured the same. And so how this works is we start with your gifts and talents, which we're not going to get into today. We're going to focus on the other piece. But how these readings work is they start with your gifts and talents. Again, these are soul level gifts and talents. And so your gifts and talents, this is like the who you are. So when we look at gifts and talents, what it ultimately is it's how you're structured to receive energy. So I think most people understand like you have infinite energy available to you, but what they don't get is you have your own plugs. Again, we are not structured the same. And so when you're utilizing your gifts and talents, now it's like you're plugged into that infinite energy. And so then the seven, so you use the word polarity. I think that word totally works. I use the word comparatives. The seven comparatives then, these are the how. So it's like, this is the who I am. How do I really express that? And so we lay that out in seven comparatives in this reading. And everyone's going to fall somewhere on these comparatives. And in the reading, it's very precise. So for instance, we'll start with the first comparative. And the first comparative, we have similarity on one side, we have contrast on the other side. And similarity is at the zero, contrast is at the 100. And everyone is going to fall somewhere on this spectrum. And it matters where you fall because we're essentially dealing with opposites here. And so how this plays out is, in the reading, I actually give precise numbers. Like, you fall at like a 5, you fall at like a 4 similarity, you fall on 95 contrast. Those things really matter because they show you how much of that, like, you are. And so just these, each of these comparatives have such depth to them. And they have such depth to them in terms of how they apply to like relationship or how they apply to like how you're, like, so many things. So what I'm going to talk about today is like such a little piece, but just to give some understanding of, so the first comparative, we have similarity at a 0, we have contrast at 100. So similarity, so people who are similarity, if you fall on the similarity side of this comparative, you thrive in likeness. You thrive being surrounded by people who are like you. And in fact, people who are similarity, what people who are similarity, what they see in others that resonates within them, like resonates with them, is actually within them. It's actually showing them what's within them. It's like, so like, for instance, with you, I really resonated with your podcast. I really resonated like with you and what you were saying. And at the time, I was not a coach. I did not have my own business. Like, I was somebody on with this journey of trying to figure things out, right? But I put myself around people. I really resonated with you. I really resonated with other people who were doing things similar to you. And I didn't understand why I was spending so much time putting myself around, even like through podcasts, like putting myself around people like you, taking programs. What was happening is it was showing me what was available to me. It was showing me what was in me. That's why I was so drawn to it. And by putting myself around it, it pulled me toward it. And so that's just a little understanding of similarity. Now, contrast on the other side, if somebody is a contrast person, they thrive in unlikeness. And in fact, no matter who they're around or what group of people they're with, they're going to look for how they are not similar to, how they are different from the people that they are with. So how contrast people work is, it's not that they're in conflict with other people. What it is it's like they go into groups of people who hold different gifts and talents than them, who are different from them, and they bring something to that group that doesn't already exist within the group. So it's like somebody who's super organized going into a group of creatives and bringing organization. So it's like by coming together, it's like they benefit the whole. But contrast people, they're not the people, like they're not going to be, like they're not going to put themselves around people who are the same or similar to them. So what I find with a lot of contrast people is, I find this frequently, is that they're constantly like, I just wish I fit in. Like, I just don't, I wish I fit in. I'm so different from everyone. Like, there's something wrong with me. And it's like, no, you're always going to look for difference. So I don't really care who you're around. You're always going to see how you're different. It's how they're structured. But it's like, no, it's like you come into something and you bring your difference, and that is something to celebrate. And so that's just a taste of like the first comparative. And so in the reading, we look at where you're structured, where you're fundamentally structured. And then we look at where you currently showing up based on your actions. So look at both of those. So you get these very precise numbers on each of those. So yeah, is there something you wanted to, did you want to add anything on that one?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's probably why I call it, you know, I borrow Francis Weller's term, the community wound, and it's probably why it's been such a driving force for me. I'm a similarity person. Although I was, I believe when we assessed, I was like not quite aligned, right? So to know what I am and then to know where you're sort of showing up. But that's probably why this like soul level drive to be around my clan, right? To build my new family and to share a depth of perspective with those I surround myself with. I also have, and that's why I offer, you know, we offer this kind of a service to other women, but I also have had experienced my life fundamentally expanded when I've put myself around somebody and invested who is, you know, embodying something that I know I can, but am not quite yet accessing, right? So it's interesting to hear that also through the the similarity lens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so beneficial for similarity people. You put yourself around something that just really resonates with you. Even if you don't have it, it will pull you toward it. It works so well. It has worked for me when I didn't even understand any of this. Absolutely did that for me. Yeah. And yeah, for you, you're right. So you're high similarity and you are showing up well in the contrast. And now though, well, at least the last time I looked, which was a few months ago, but you're now in similarity. So it's like these things can shift, but, and I work with people to shift them, but it's like, okay, now I see I'm similarity. I'm showing up in contrast. Good to know. Now I can focus, right? Now I can hone in. Like there's an efficiency to it. Okay. And I know what I can do to move that. And then when I do, things are going to change for me.
That's fascinating to me because, you know, most people listening, I'm sure, have watched the evolution of my identity as an activist, right? And so if I were to enter a room, let's say even 3 years ago, I would have immediately tried to assess how it is that I'm different. And I would have experienced, you know, what I refer to as my terminal uniqueness, right? Like I'm not like any of these people. This is horrible. It's existentially painful. And I would have focused on these, you know, intellectual points of contrast, right? Like, do they understand germ theory? Do they understand cosmology? Like, where is it that we might be different? And I would allow myself to gain access to this deeper sense of like not belonging, of rejection, of whatever it is that I was working out. And as I have explored that, I've come to find myself as like quite similar to people I wouldn't otherwise have imagined myself similar to. And what do I get to experience as a result of that? A sense of belonging, like pretty much anywhere I go. So, you know, that alignment, I wonder if you would say alignment with your, you know, with your true essence is always going to, this is kind of a generic statement as I'm saying it, but it's going to feel fulfilling. But if you're in a pattern, right? Like I could righteously say, well, I'm supposed to find my people, right? And so I'm going to focus on the fact that these are not my people and what it is that we don't have in common. And that life is a turmoil-driven and saturated life. How can that be the destination? Like the truth is always beautiful. So it's like it's an indication you may not be living in your essence, I guess.
Yeah, that's really what we're dealing with here is that it's like, if people aren't living in states where they are thriving, like I like to say, this is the seven ways you're structured to thrive. If people aren't living in states where they are thriving, if they are living in states where they are stressed out, depleted, in states of disease, like it's not because like that is their fundamental nature. It's because they're not living in accordance with their fundamental nature, but they can. They can. And it's like, it's there and it's like, it's waiting for them. And what I love about this is like, you're right. Like you were showing up in contrast. I was showing up in contrast. I'm similarity when I was showing up in contrast. And, you know, it's like, oh, that's actually not, that's just like some programming. That's just like, cause I kind of had a thing my whole life. I mean, I was a litigator, right? I mean, I became a litigator. I clearly had some sort of thing going on of like, I need to convince, I need to like, right? When in truth, that's not where I thrive. Where I thrive is like, I'm with my people and they're like, yeah, I get that. And I appreciate that. And I'm not trying to convince or be in like this distinct kind of like, yes, let me stand up for the truth. When like, that's actually not where I thrive. Like, and how similarity people work is when they come together like that in that similarity, the whole group rises. And so it's not like you have to kind of like go out and fight the battle if you're the similarity person, because you're not gonna like it ultimately. It's not gonna feel good to you. There's something so much more powerful you can do. And like I had to realize that too. Like I have a different path than you, but there's something going on if you're a litigator, you think you've gotta fight, right? Like you've got to just like run into the battle. And I'm not structured to run into the battle. I don't want to run into the battle. I like want to be with my people. Or like, yeah, like whereas like let some of the other people who are more like, yeah, I want to go in and bring this difference. And I thrive doing that.
Right.
You can do that.
Right. Okay. Next.
So the next one, we have process at a zero, outcome at 100. And so what this is, if you're a process person, you know, express and experience yourself in the process of what you're doing as you're doing it, not in your outcome. So for a process person, outcomes in many instances, they can be negotiable. Why? Because they don't express an experience and know themselves in their outcome. They know it in their process. So for a process person, it's like, what do I want to be doing right here, right now, regardless of the outcome? And the other end of this, the outcome people, how they work is they know, express, and experience themselves in their outcomes. They're very outcome focused. And so like outcome people, for instance, it's like, you know, we have a lot, and it's like, it's even in the wellness spirituality space, we have this, like, everyone's the same, right? Make a vision board. They're super effective. They work really well. Get really clear on what it is you want. It's like, yeah, if you're an outcome person, great, do that. If you're a process person, that is not going to do anything for you. It's not going to do anything for you. It's like, I know, because I'm a process person. I used to do that stuff. And I felt like such a failure. I'm like, why is this working for everybody else and not for me? How many vision boards do I need to make? How many times do I like need to try to get clear on an outcome that, quite frankly, I wasn't clear on? Why? Because I really don't care about my outcomes that much. I'm very focused on the process. So again, it's like we're structured differently. So like, another example would be, so I'm a process person. I remember so vividly the day I got my law degree. Like everyone's celebrating. I could not make myself be excited. I could not make myself be excited. I didn't care. I didn't enjoy the process of law school. So that degree is never going to do it for me. And in fact, I'm one of the only people in my office who did not frame their degree and hang it on the wall. That was how little I cared about that degree. But now I understand why. Well, I don't know, express, and experience myself in my outcomes. I didn't like the process of law school. So I mean, that degree is really going to mean so nothing to me. Now, it's not to say for any of these, none of these are so extreme. So it's not like outcome doesn't matter to a process person. What it is, though, is if your process is aligned with you, the outcome will be there. Like, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be there. And for outcome people, if they're aligned, if their outcome is aligned with them, it's like when I talk to outcome people, it's like, look at your outcome. Is it aligned to your gifts and talents, right? Like, is it aligned to you, or is it based on some sort of should, need, have to, like, right? But if it's aligned to them and they really focus on that outcome, get really clear about that outcome, their process, it will inform their process. So it's really beautiful. It's like both matter. It's just a different kind of way that we get there because people are structured different.
Yeah. And I found this because I'm a process person, and I found this to be particularly relevant in the business arena, right? Because if you're somebody who is in the dominant practice of focusing on outcomes, right? You might focus on the revenue or the number of people you want in your container, or, you know, what it's going to feel like on launch day or whatever. But if the experience on the day-to-day of that process is unfulfilling or stressful or chaotic, then yeah, if you're a process person, that is going to be compromising of the totality of the journey. And that I've said so many times, I'm sure many people have heard me publicly say, is that I'm not like a manifestation board girly. Like, I've never been. And yet I've manifested tons of extraordinary things. Like, how could it be that I never sit down and I focus on, you know, like the vision even? And it's because I think I focus on, you know, what it is like to be me right here, right now, right? And yeah, working step by step towards something rather than protecting myself all the way at the finish line. Fascinating. Yeah. And it's probably also why the things that I have gotten are sort of like, in some ways, an afterthought. I've thought mostly that that's because I don't have a lot of capacity to feel the fulfillment, which could be a piece of it, but it could also be that that's not actually what I was ever in it for.
Yes.
So again, it's like depathologizing to look at it through this lens.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, you know, when I would even get outcomes as a lawyer, I'd be like, oh, cool, woohoo. And it lasts like a second. And even with my business, so this is really pertinent. Like with my business, when I first started realizing, oh, I actually have something here. I actually have something that could like help people. People would be like, but what's your plan? Like, how are you going to like, how is this actually going to be a business? How are you going to, I tried to kind of give something, but it totally stagnated me. When I just focused on, well, what processes are in alignment with me? What processes do I enjoy? I enjoy coaching people. I enjoy writing programs. I enjoy, right? Then my business just transpired. I didn't have to worry about the outcome. It was going to happen as I focused on the process.
Amazing.
Okay. So there's a lot more I can say about each of these. And I will say this too. So like, it's interesting too with these. So most people who are process, when I do a reading for them, they are showing up outcome that is typical. You were showing up process. You weren't showing up as much process. You're like really high process, but you were showing up process, which I think it makes sense that you were having so much success because you were focused on the process. Whereas a lot of people I get and who are processed, because we're this collective consciousness beliefs outcome, totally outcome, right? Like get the law degree, who cares what it takes to get it? Get the medical degree, who cares? Like it's so outcome focused. But most people are who are processed, they are showing up outcome. I mean, it is like the vast, vast majority. When they come to me, they're processed and they're showing up outcome. You weren't. But again,
fascinating.
Yeah. It makes sense that that's why you were having so much success. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So the next one is internal, external. So we have internal at the zero, external at the 100. So internal people, how internal people work is they know themselves through their relationship with themselves. So this is not introvert, extrovert. This is not that. Like internal people, they could be the life of the party when they go out. People, you know, love them, gravitate to them. It's not that they're like shy or something like that. It's not that. What it is how internal people know themselves is through their relationship with themselves. So they have this really rich internal relationship with themselves. Like they have a lot going on with themselves. And on the other hand, we have external people. How they know themselves is through their relationship with others. So what external people do is they look out to look back in. It's like, oh, I know who I am because I'm looking out at you. I'm comparing and contrasting myself with you. Nothing wrong with that. And oh, by doing that, I know me. So it's like external people, they're looking out to look in. Internal people, they're just looking in. I look in to know myself. They have this very, very rich relationship with themselves. And so with this, this plays out in just so many different ways for people. But for internal people, they do, again, nothing here is so extreme, but time with themselves matters. That matters. If they spend too much time with other people, it will create confusion. And with external people, if they don't spend enough time with other people, that will create confusion. If they just like stay with themselves by themselves, it will create confusion. Why? Because they don't know themselves if they don't look out. And so, of course, this plays out in just a myriad of different ways for people. And one of the biggest ways I've seen it play out too is like for mothers, because internal mothers, they're going to mother differently again. And again, it's like in our experience, we have so much of like, everyone's the same and this is how we do it. And it's like, no, for an internal mother, how they mother, it will be wonderful, but it will look different. Why? Because we're structured different.
You might have a sense that supporting your energetic and subtle body is important, but how exactly does one do that? Like short of scheduling regular sessions with an energy healer, how do you do that? Most of the time I find that when we take supplements, it's from the energy of fixing ourselves. And honestly, it's really no different than taking a medication at that point. That's why I love Flower Remedies, and specifically my girl Katie Hess's elixirs from Lotus Way. The formulations that she creates are so nuanced that sometimes it feels like I wrote the descriptions myself. The last one I took was designed to dissolve go-go-go mentality, as well as fatigue, weakness, apathy, and resistance to self-care. Relatable? Okay. I have a monthly membership called Flower Revolution where I get a new and super powerful on-point remedy sent to me every month, and it blows my mind how resonant each one is with exactly where I am in my process. I think of this as a truly feminine investment that harmonizes my process and allows me to walk, talk, and interact with grace. You can try it for a month or six at the link below. And if you just want to dip a toe in to learn more about how flowers heal, you can take their quiz. Amazing. It's also another, right? Because if you apply this generic metric that like, oh, well, I've spending too much time alone, that's unhealthy, right? You could end up coercing yourself away from what is ultimately one of the, you know, soul aligning and restoring aspects of your selfhood.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, internal people too, they'll have this like, well, that's what I should want to do. I should want to be in big groups of people, like fear of missing out, right? I should want to do all this stuff and like be around all these people. Like that's where all the fun is. And it's like, really? For internal people? you are so into yourself. And like, you really are. Internal people too, they come to me and they're like, I'm so selfish. It's like, you're not so selfish. The other thing too, like with internal people is, this is interesting, but like I said, these have a lot of depth. Internal people, when they set intentions, the intentions that benefit them are intentions that are about them. That's why they think they're selfish. External people, when they, like, if they make an intention to serve others, that benefits them. It doesn't move the dial for internal people. Internal people, what they do is they set an intention. I'm setting this intention, why it benefits me. Now, don't worry. When an internal person sets an intention that benefits them, they'll benefit others in ways they never could. It's how they're, but it's again, it's owning how they're structured. So like for me with my business, like legit, I wanted to do it. Like I like doing it. I wanted to do it. I didn't have this intention of like saving the world or something, you know, but what's happened is I've been able to benefit people in ways that I never could have otherwise. Why? Because I'm being and expressing who I am. Really, there's just in the work that I do, and it's like, there's just nothing more powerful you can do than be and express you.
Amazing.
So next we have consistent and variable. So consistent at a zero, variable at 100. So consistent people, they thrive in repetition and consistency. That's where they thrive. So like in the wellness space, we know we see a lot of like, you have to have a morning routine and you have to meditate for X amount of days and you have to, like we have this, that works very well for consistent. But on the other end, we have variable people. So this does not work for variable people because variable people, how they operate is like new and different. New and different is how they operate. They repetition and consistency is not what works for them. And so for them, it's like, so with variable people, I see a few things, but it's like they can commit to things. Like, can I commit to being healthy in my body? Of course, you like, of course. But it's like, I want to commit to being healthy in my body. Great. I'm going to commit to working out. Great. But it's going to vary. It's not going to look the same every day. It's not going to be like, if they do that to themselves, they will feel so stuck. They will feel so stuck. But the kind of bigger picture here with variable people in particular is that, so like I'm variable. And for the first, you know, little part of my job, first few years, whatever, I was kind of like, woo, this is like, it had my attention. It's like, oh, this is different. I'm like, I'm learning all these new things. And so even though I wasn't super into it, like that variable part of me was like, oh, this is different. This is new. But then it got to the point where I was like, oh my goodness, like if I have to write another deposition, like, or like do another deposition or write more interrogatories, like I've done that. And I really beat myself up for that. Like, why can't you, you know how to do it now? And like some people were super like, I know how to do it now, right? So like now I really know what I'm doing. And I'm like, I know how to do it now. And I'm so freaking bored that I don't know what to do with myself because I wasn't honoring that. Like I'm variable. I'm not going to do the same thing for like the duration of my life. Not that everybody does, but like it has to vary for me. I've lived in so many different places. When I had this whole like, you know what we really need? We need like a home. We need like stability. We need like, that has never happened for me. It probably never will. Why I'm variable.
Before we started this conversation, I was just talking to you about how maybe I should move again. It's like, this, I'm also a variable. And what's interesting in my case is that I think part of my immature, what I would refer to as immature masculinity, is and has been to prize consistency as a source of identity and, you know, even self-worth, right? So like, you know, I did a pre-dawn sadhana for 5 years and I never one day ever missed that shit. Like in New York, I would like go up in the club and like literally get home at 2:30 in the morning and be up at 5. So, you know, my sense of self became very tied, also dietarily became very tied to that consistency. And my variable nature, which has always been there, kind of like swirling around, has ultimately required that I mature that, you know, more rigid aspect of myself into one that determines in every moment what's best for me. And kind of gets my own back, you know, which is a different kind of masculine support than those rules, right? And so I always thought it was like my double Gemini that accounted for my intense, you know, variability and intense attraction to novelty, newness, experience. And ultimately, I mean, I have probably like, I don't know, 45 morning practices I'm experimenting with at any given time. And that's why I'm, you know, like a really good curator. But to just drain that sense of like, it should be something else from the field is, I think, why, you know, your work is very powerful.
Yeah. So I was, you know, I'm variable, and I was, my whole life I had been so consistent. It was like, if somebody could stick to something, it was like, I could do it, but it's just not. When I really stepped into and owned, like, no, I'm variable. Whoa. Whoa. Things got so much better for me. Life got so much better for me because I did the same thing. I was able to make myself do stuff. Like you said, like I could totally do that, but it's not where I was happy or where I really like was expressing me.
Yeah. So it has an expiration date. Yeah.
Okay. So the next one is, we have reinventive at a zero, innovative at 100. So reinventors, how reinventors work, they collect. They collect information and then they take those things. It's like they're collecting all these building blocks. And then they take those and then they make their own unique thing with them. And then on the other side, well, I'll go back to reinventive to give more information about that. But then on the other side is innovative. So how innovators work is they're not collectors. Like they don't take a bunch of classes. They don't take a bunch of programs. They don't read a bunch of books. Like they may, again, nothing so extreme. But what innovators do is they just do things their own way. They're wired for vibrational leaps is what's happening. So it's like, I'm going to create this new thing. Boom. It's like they jump. Whereas what reinventors are doing, they're actually collecting different vibrational states, and then they're going to take all of those and make their own unique thing with them. So what I see on this piece is, again, there's a lot of depth to this, but in this experience, we have this thing of like, this thing is mine and nobody can take it. Right. And we have that even in our current wellness space. Like, this thing is mine. Nobody can take it. And if you take it, I will sue you because I have litigated those cases for people. So understand, with reinventors, what they're doing, they're going to take pieces of things. If they cannot take pieces of things, they will not create anything. It's how they are structured. And so what it is for them is like, they're going to take a little piece of something that someone did here, a little piece of thing they heard there, a little piece. But then what they're going to do is like, they're taking these little building blocks. They're going to make their own unique thing with that. Will it include some pieces? Yes, it will. Like, just like it will. But understand, it's its own unique thing. Now, reinventors, if they're really off, what they will do is they will just straight copy. Like, if they're not owning their own uniqueness, they will just straight copy. So if you ever see that happening, like, have some compassion. They're just off. They're a reinventor. They're probably off, really. And they're never going to, like, you know, it's never going to be what, you know, the other person had. But we do have this thing. I did so much in litigation with that, like litigating. You took my thing. You took this, right? It's like, reinventors are going to take bits and pieces. So that's like the thing with reinventors to understand, because a lot of things I go with reinventors is like, no, everything has to be completely mine. It has to be completely unique. It has to be completely new. And it's like, it's not going to be. It's not how you're structured. You're going to collect the building blocks. And then what I find with innovators is so interesting. Most innovators are not showing up innovators. And I tell them they're innovators. They're like, now I feel pressured to be an innovator. I'm like, you are an innovator. You know how to do this. But we have been very trained, we have been trained to straight up regurgitate. So innovators are kind of up against something. And because they'll have this like, oh, I want to do this. And they'll look around and no one will be doing it.
Yeah, there's quite a number of years of indoctrination around regurgitation being the prized skill set in our academic experiences as kids. That's fascinating because I just did it earlier. And for so many years, I've recognized that my gift is curation. I call it curation, but it's like, is a level of like, I can consume just mass quantities of information. And sometimes I'll like pick up a book and it's like I recognize it from some other dimension. And it's like, I get the book within 10 minutes of opening the cover, and then I can deliver an entire dissertation on the book. Like, I've had this experience my whole life, and all of my work could be described this way. And if I were preoccupied with, you know, needing to have something that didn't exist before in order to make my contribution valuable, I would be in a twist, you know? Whereas I can really appreciate both the shadow of that. And it's funny too, because I wonder if that's also why I'm never bothered by people biting my shit or copying, or it never, ever has bothered me. And I wonder if it's because I have an inbuilt understanding of that's what we're doing, but it's not what we're all doing. And that's what you helped me to see, is the spectrum, right? So if there are people who in their essence are going to feel most fulfilled when they are creating an entire modality. Like I was on a reformer the other day, and I was I never studied the origin of Pilates. I think it's a guy, right? Who created Pilates anyway, whatever. But the channeling of that machinery and its infinite adaptability to different applications, I mean, it's pretty extraordinary, right? So somebody came up with that shit. And I believe that a lot of times these folks are channeling, right? So if you are, an innovator and you don't align with that, maybe it's the case that you don't actually channel the things, the ideas that want to come through you. You're a chosen vessel. Seems important to know about yourself, right?
Yeah, I would say very. Yeah. And this is really how we're creating in the world. This is how we're putting out creative expressions. And so, for reinventors, if they're had a reinventor who was in the women's health field and wanted to utilize something that she had gained from a program from another woman, and she contacted the woman. I wouldn't and she was like, no, you cannot use anything that I have. And it was we got to understand here how people create and honor that, and understanding that reinventors, they're going to take that stuff. They're going to make something so unique and so original. And if they don't get to do that, they're going to be stifled. And these most genius, beautiful creations are not going to get to flow through them. And it's the same with innovators. If they can't own that, I'm going to do something different and no one else is going to be doing it. You're right, Kelly. It's that infinite intelligence, that most genius creation of theirs, it's not going to flow through them. And that is such a travesty if that happens. Yeah, because it's going to be unique. If they're aligned, that is going to be a unique expression both ways. Yeah. Okay. So we now have instigative at 0, reactive at 100. So instigative. So how instigative people work, their inspiration, you might say, for change, it just comes. It'll be they'll be in this job, everything will be going well, and they'll be time to leave. It's why? It just is. This is how they're structured. Reactive people, what they do is they'll be in a job and their boss won't be being nice to them and they're not making enough money, and they'll be time to leave. So what it ultimately is reactive people, what they're doing, they're reacting to the world. Oh, this is calling for change. Okay, good to know. I'm going to make that change. Instigative people, how they're structured is they make the change and they watch the world react to them. So for instigative people, it's what I find with a lot of them is they're not showing up instigative, because most people want reasons. Well, why are you leaving this job? Give us all the reasons. Why are you breaking up with this person? Give us all the reasons. They don't have them. They don't have them. It's because, right? And so a lot of times they're then trying to go into reactive mode, which doesn't work for them. Now they're not actually listening to what they're being called to. And then for reactive people, it's actually a really nice check, because it's we have a lot of confusion ultimately as to what we are called to. So what I work with people too is what I hold is that you hold within you great knowing. You know the next thing for you all day, every day. You know the path for you. And that is you're called to it. You are called to these things that are for you all day, every day. We are very confused as to what that is, though, because of all of the hiding, because of all the subconscious stuff and the programs. So for reactive people, they actually have a good check. Because if they're I'm really called to this thing, and it's if you don't have any external circumstances or anything to kind of be yeah, and that makes sense. You might not be. It's a good check. So that's how those two are. And most people show up reactive. Almost no one shows up as instigative, even when they are. They're structured as instigative, they're showing up reactive. And then the last one, we have integrative at 0, exclusive at 100. So what this has to do with, it's how you sift and sort. So integrative people, how they sift and sort is they they just want to try everything on. They're like, ooh, that looks amazing. I'm going to like go into this clothing store. All these dresses look incredible. I'm going to try them all on. And by trying them all on, I'm going to sift and sort and see which one I do want. Exclusive people, they actually sift and sort by focusing on what they don't want. So it's like they will go into a clothing store and be like, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't need to try it on. Oh, there it is. By process of elimination, now I see what the thing is that I want. And so again, this matters because we have this thing in our wellness spirituality space of like, don't focus on what you don't want, right? If you're an exclusive person and you don't focus on what you don't want, you will be confused. You will not know what it is that you really want because it's how you sift and sort. And understand too, exclusive people, it's not like they focus on what they don't want just to like stay focused on what they don't want. They don't like walk into the clothing store, sit in front of the dress and just like, I don't want this dress and then just keep sitting in front of it. No, it's like, okay, I don't want this dress. Great. I don't want this one. And I don't want this one. And I don't want this one. There's the one. But like, I'm an integrated person. Integrated people are kind of seen as like the positive, like, oh, we're the positive, right? And my husband's exclusive. And before I understood this, which is again, why this matters to understand this, I was like, why are you like so negative? Like I really was like, you're so negative. Why are you focusing on what you don't want? It was like, it's how he sifts and sorts. So now I totally see it. I'm like, oh, he's sifting and sorting. He's sifting and sorting. He's going to get to what it is he does want.
This for me as an exclusive is such a permission field because of exactly what you said, which is that it has now been pathologized by the new age to identify even, let alone find, you know, value in what it is that you don't want or like about a situation, right? And that's probably always how I've operated. But if I were to, you know, sort of swim up the current of this tendency that I have to sift and sort through identification of what it is that doesn't work for me or what it is that I don't want or like, then it's just like such an energy drain, such a leak. So I find it, yeah, so helpful. And especially those who are listening who can relate, like probably there's like a relaxation into the, you know, ownership of that. Like, oh, I get to just be that way. You can just almost like feel the energy coming back into your system.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I find with giving these readings is that it gives people permission just to be who they are and to really own it. Just like it's interesting that we've been so incredibly hidden from ourselves, but we have. But it's like this is there. And most people, when they get it, they even if they're showing up differently, they resonate with it. Like, oh yeah, I resonate with that. I can totally see that in myself. I haven't been living it. Like I see it. And so it's just such a beautiful thing. And it's also really cool to see too. So I work with people on these to really go deep with them. These numbers will move. They will move. You can come into alignment. It's not even that hard, you know, like when you really understand how to do it. And I love too that with this, we can see the actual movement in very precise ways. Like, it's like, yeah, the person feels that they've moved, but it's so fun too to tell them, oh yeah, like you've totally shifted. It's like a celebration. Like, yeah, I know it, but it's really cool to see that I have, like there's clear evidence for it. Yeah.
And in my, you know, experience in this transformational space, that permission granting is a huge part of the facilitation of that alignment, you know, and it probably does happen effortlessly after you understand and remember like who it is that you are in your essence. I wonder if some people might be thinking, you know, okay, well, how does this rubric compare to, you know, Enneagram or human design or these other, I would say more elaborate in terms of their complexity, at least in my experience, frameworks for understanding the self. Do you see it as complementary? Do you see it as like an alternative?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can be complementary. I have had numerous clients who have had, like I actually studied human design for a while. And so I have had numerous clients who have their human design. And so I think, again, what it boils down to is like, this really speaks to me because to me, it's clear, it's precise, and there's an efficiency to it. And I really like that. And that really speaks to me. And so I think, you know, we're structured different and I'm really about efficiency. I'm really about like, you know, and to me, this is clear, practical, and efficient. That's why I really like this. But I think they certainly, it's not like people who have had human design and then come do this are then confused. That is not the case at all. In every instance, really, that I've had with experiences of people, like, oh, I can see how this kind of, oh yeah, this is, I can see how this complements this, or I can see how this is this. And also had somebody recently get some other reading that I have never heard of. And her gifts and talents essentially were utilizing like similar work. Like it was so like, yes. And I think what it ultimately gives is confirmation of like, you do have a fundamental structure. You do have it. And there's all these different ways that we can kind of look at that and understand that, but you have it and it's there. And it doesn't, it's not like people are coming and they're getting differing, you know, in something that's in conflict. That's not happening. It's like, oh, and someone told me this, or I can see it. Like it's why? Because it's you. It's you and it's your fundamental nature and it's your structure. Yeah.
I remember early in my clinical practice, it was probably, I don't know, like the dozenth time that I received this same feedback from a patient who was ready to, you know, graduate into the world, you know, having liberated herself from the clutches of allopathy. And she would say, I finally feel like myself, you know, or I feel like I've come home to myself. And I marveled at that because I, especially at that time, assumed that we all kind of wanted to feel different. Like, who wants to feel like themselves, right? And that is, I now understand the defining, you know, nature of this journey that we're on. It's like arriving in your own skin and feeling your own aliveness is that call. It's the deepest longing and yearning that we have. So to remember who it is that you are and to have the permission to actually own and embody that seems like it will be the case that people recognize themselves. It's almost like, right? Like it's like looking in the reflection in the pond or something and seeing yourself in a way that you weren't permitted to through your own programming, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing how we have like rejected, like in many instances, hidden ourselves from who we really are. And everything I do is towards that, being expressing the truth of who you are. And it's so interesting to me because it's like, we have some confusion as to where we're at and why we're here. It's like, some people think like, I'm here just to survive. Or some people think they're here just to compile all these external things, or they're here to compile all these accolades, or a lot of people think they're here to prove their worth and value. That was me. That was all about proving my worth and value. Like that was my like, you know, that was why I was like, that was like the game I was playing, like the prove your worth and value game. And that game does not go well because you already are worthy and valuable. So that's like that you're going to be chasing that like carrot stick forever. But what I've come to understand is it's like, if we want to look at this, it's like, I would say it's like, you're here to be and express the truth of who you are. That's like, that's it. And that the truth of who you are is going to call you all day, every day, and it's never going to stop. And so if you ever think that like, I'm going to compile all the, there's going to be enough things that I'm going to compile that somehow that's going to go away, or somehow I'm going to like feel good, or somehow that's going to do it for me. Like it never did it for me and it never was going to. But now that I'm like on this, like my priority is to be and express the truth of who I am. Again, like it's like I've lived two lives in one lifetime. Like it's like, I don't even, hard to even recognize who that was like before. I also think too, like if I wouldn't have made this a priority, like I could have missed all of this, because this life really is this most exquisite, beautiful experience. Like if you see it, and like, I just feel like I could have missed all of it. I could have missed all of it. But I'm not. So yeah, I just agree with you. Like there's just like, this is where it's at. Be and express the truth of who you are. And there's just such brilliance and genius and beauty in that. Yeah, it's there. It's just like waiting for you.
Yeah, and understanding struggles and symptoms as an invitation to align with that, right? Versus like some sort of external problem. I mean, it becomes all the more obvious that we must struggle when we are, you know, living in contrast when we're actually similarity, right? Like that is the invitation to realign. It's not meant to be any other way. You're not supposed to rest comfortably in a false identity. Right. So yeah, it's so powerful. I love this. And I would love for folks to know, you know, how they can go deeper with you, what you're offering these days. And we'll make sure, of course, that the links are in the show notes, Kara. So let us know that.
Yeah. So can connect with me at KaraNicoleBitar.com. Also Kara Nicole Bitar on Instagram. And yes, if your listeners would like one of these readings, of course, I highly recommend it. You can use it for the rest of your life. And there's such depth to it. I cannot imagine not having this myself. I cannot imagine not having my husband's, my mom's, my brother. It's just so beneficial. And so I offer these readings to people. And then also too, what I do is I take these readings. They're a piece of what I do. They're not all of what I do. I take these readings and I utilize them in programs that I've created so that we can really go deeper with them. And people really understand, yes, This in and of itself, so valuable. And then I take people even deeper with it. So it's like, how do we really move these? How do you really own these and embody these again, efficiently, effectively? Because I've done it with so many people now. So I do that within my programs. But yes, people can connect with me on my website. We have a special offer for listeners of your community for this reading. And I would love to connect with people in your community. I have been so fortunate to have gotten to be in your community, connect with other people in your community. It has been such an absolute joy. The community that you have is just so, so wonderful. It's like it nourishes my soul to come together with your community. It is so wonderful what you've done. So I'd love to connect with anybody in your community. I also offer complimentary calls. So yeah, just connect with me, reach out to me.
Oh, so good. I love that. And yes, somewhere in that assessment is one of my gifts. That is to attract extraordinary people for sure into my field, yourself included. I've loved this conversation and I'm just delighted to bring this into people's awareness. And of course, certainly encourage anybody to go deeper with you, because this self-discovery process is something that pays infinite dividends in the realm of belonging, right? To ultimately offer ourselves the permission to inhabit this vessel, to be on this plane and to claim our own lives. So thank you, Kara, for your work, for your journey home to yourself. And I will speak to you soon.
Thank you so much, Kelly.